Right now, the independent Māori theatre and dance sectors are overflowing with people wanting to create work. But often what's holding them back is a lack of experienced producers and somewhere to go for practical advice. That's changing with a new organisation, Ngā Hua Toi, made up of prominent Māori arts organisations that's nicknamed the G8. It's received a $628,000 boost for its plan for a standalone Māori-led arts body from money targeted by the Ministry for Culture and Heritage for capability building in the cultural sector. It's by far the biggest single allocation in this first round of COVID-19-related grants. Meanwhile, $261,000 are going to the Kāpiti-based Māoriland Charitable Trust, best known for its annual film festival and headed by Libby Hakaraya. I spoke to Libby and to Hone Koka, who's a driving force behind both the Kia Mau Festival and Ngā Hua Toi.
During COVID, when it struck, one of the first things I thought of was, how are our people? So I made contact with probably the eight biggest Māori companies in Aotearoa for theatre and dance. And first of all, asked the key question, how are you? And all of the organisations basically went, yes, we're good. And that's when I came up with this idea. I went, oh, there's eight of us, let's call us the G8. And then they went, no, there's nine of us. I went, let's still call it the G8, you know? And basically it was just a collection of leadership. And there's great leadership within Māori theatre and dance at the moment. So the companies, the Takirua, Atamira, Betsy and Mana, which is Dalina Wihi Peihana, Tawata, Kiaomo, Tai Rāwhiti Festival, Te Pau and Te Rihia. So as you can tell, that's a lot of the key leadership in Aotearoa at the moment in regards to Māori theatre and dance. And our leadership could see that there was this massive upswing, internationally in particular, in regards to Māori theatre and dance. Obviously, with COVID, that just stopped. And so we went, okay, let's refocus for Aotearoa. What do we need here? So that's what the G8 is. And so once I knew that these organisations were all good, I went, okay, who's not? And we identified really quickly that we need to do something for our independent artists, Māori theatre and dance.
So you're all hearing stories about people struggling?
Yeah, yeah, okay. Absolutely. And independently, each organisation did work with their direct communities, which was amazing. And, you know, like for Tawata, we created a thing called Ngā Whakaaro Huritau. And so we approached 20 artists to write about their experience working on 20 productions for Tawata. And so it was a great, easy way for us to get pūtea in their pocket. And also, you know, it was a great way for us to have a look at the historical reach of Tawata, because it was over quite a long period of time and a lot of productions. So, yeah, I then went, okay, if it's our Māori theatre and dance independent practitioners, what can we do? And I came up with an idea of going, why don't we work towards creating our own peak body for Māori theatre and dance? There isn't one in Aotearoa for us. There's Play Market, which services Māori, but not to. We've exponentially evolved away from it. And it's not that they're not capable and able to do things, but like we're at all the markets internationally, we're all of these sorts of things, so there was a need there. Also with a dance, there wasn't anything focused primarily in regards to a contemporary dance in particular. That's what we're talking about.
And Māori contemporary dance is so strong.
Yeah,
oh,
it's really strong at the moment. So it was really just going, okay, let's use this time that we've got to think. So what I did, the creative thing I did during COVID was write essays in relation to our landscape, in relation to our art forms, because you had time. And it was so enlightening to go, why have we been doing this and this and that for so long? Let's go this direction and do this. There was great communication with Creative New Zealand as well, and they were really supporting our artists, you know, just getting resource and putia out there to people.
So you're happy with that from your perspective and the organisation's perspective?
At that stage, yeah, absolutely. You're going, look, I don't care who makes art or who doesn't or anything like that. It's really about looking after these people who are the most vulnerable. So yeah, came up with this idea for this peak body, approached Stephen Wainwright and Kath Cardiff and leadership at Creative New Zealand and went, look, we want to do this. And they went, okay. And I said, I don't want any of the putia, if you do want to go this way, to come out of the pool for artists and the creation of work. I want it to come out of strategy, because that's where it should be coming from, and not to take any more putia away from artists. Big tick for them, they just went, okay, let's move it towards the Māori art strategy. And so we were given $100,000 for a pilot project over a year and created this entity called Nahua Tui. So the fruits of the arts, I suppose, is a really literal way of translating it. And the idea was to create community for independent Māori theatre and dance artists. So therefore we had online zui, wānanga as well, online wānanga. So, and the great feedback really early on from the artists was, we have somewhere to go.
So this is about kind of communication.
Absolutely.
And what about skill building? Is that, I mean, that's something you've been involved in for a long time.
Yeah, so what we also did was went, okay, so the majority of people were having to be online, let's create online videos. So producing 101, financing 101, working online, those sorts of things. So we created that and a website and basically put it all together, and the response was way beyond what we expected, and especially from the independents. And we went, great, this, we were right to know that there's the need for this.
So there's business skills.
Yeah, business skills. And then I started really looking at it and going, okay, how can we take things away from the artists so they can just be artists? You know, that's one of the key things for me. And so when we saw the applications open up in regards to the Ministry of Culture and Heritage, in regards to capability, it made total sense. What we're going to do is we're going to super enhance what we've done. So it's a national organisation. It's not Wellington focused, it's national.
So you got the framework there. Taking these first steps.
Yeah, and the online Zui, you know, I think the biggest one we had was 55 people. And it was a mix of established artists, up and coming, you know, those, you know, right a mix across the board. And it really identified for me that there's a need for this community to have support and to come together.
What have you identified as the biggest needs? You know, having had these Zui and talking to the practitioners, what is the biggest gap for them at the moment?
Oh, it was producing was one of the key ones, that they needed to have an understanding of it, because making art is, in Aotearoa, our people can do it standing on their head. You know, that's one of the easiest things, and it's also one of the things I've learned with Kiamo. You know, it's, there's no shortage of work, but it's actually those business skills, those other skills and elements that take a lot of artists away from the art, and they get stressed about it, and they need support networks and those sorts of things too.
And they're very specific skills, honey, aren't they? We've spoken to, you know, some really high calibre producers over the years, and it's a job in its own right. You can't just, you know, get the person who's got a less of a lead role in the dance or theatre piece and say, hey, you're going to produce. You know, it's really skilled work.
Yeah, and it's really because the entire Māori dance and theatre industry was lifting exponentially, there was an absolute need to do that for an independence as well. So we came out with a program over 18 months. We then identified three areas we felt needed support and one area that was about to explode. And went, okay, so the idea then is we go, okay, here's 10K. So the areas we identified were Utiputi, Heretaunga, Te Taitonga, and Waikato. And we went, okay, we want to get Pūtea to you and you design a program that works for your area. We're not here to about to impose. That's not what it's all about, because you know what works there. You know what's required there. You know those sorts of things.
And that's often the problem, isn't it? That people will come up with a clever template or an idea and maybe it will work for 50, 60 or even 70%. But everybody is individual.
And really individual.
Yeah, wow.
So like the Waikato is about to explode. So we went, okay, so your program will be very vastly different from Utiputi, which is about how do we bring both Māori theatre and dance communities together, how do we work it down there? So that was one part of it. The other, another big, a third of it is producing interns long term. And because you've got access to these eight major companies, it's really simple. The company wins, the person who's the intern wins as well. And these are paid internships too. But they're really there to build skill sets for our independent artists. So there's a pool of producers built and they can go, oh yeah, would you come and work with me? And then they can just focus on the art. That's really that. And the other part of it was to, as I said, to enhance what we'd done with the pilot project and just to deepen it, ask the community what else they want. So it was hugely surprising when the ministry got in touch and went, here's the Pūtea. And we went, whoa,
Was that what you... I always have to ask this question. I know it's a little bit rude, but the $627,660, was that exactly what you'd ask for?
It's about 50K short, but hey, you know, I expected something much lower. Because
it's enough to do what you want to do?
Oh, it really is, you know, and the intent is that... we had one part-time producer who was putting it all together, Vanessa Imink, and she was led by the G8, so that's the advisory board, and this now will be putting on a full-time producer and then a part-timer as well, and creating more of the videos to go online, to just a really strong portal that's useful for the art forms. Really, that's all it comes down to for me, that it's hard what we do. So how can we make it easier? The other thing about COVID is it really pointed out the disparities in regards to resourcing for Māori and Pacifica. It's a decent amount of pūtea, but it's nothing that others have had for years, you know? And that's the thing, that because we got so big and so strong, and now we've got quite a few platforms, so Kia Mau Festival, Te Tai Rāwhiti Festival,
so Arunui, hey?
And Rotorua, you know, and there's Whao festivals opening in Christchurch, that's a Reo Māori festival down there as well, theatre, that we can actually go it alone. We don't actually need to be constantly in collaboration with everyone else. And what also the G8 found is that when we're doing it together, it's much faster. There's a shorthand in regards to the kōrero, in regards to the intentions and wants, but everyone keeps their independence.
The self-determination.
Yeah,
it's that
absolutely.
Phrase, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So it was really exciting, and that I think all of the companies go, oh, we're still Atamira or Tawato or whatever it may be, but we're in this rōpū here, and it's just a big muscle.
And so everyone's going to win.
Yeah.
So you have the G8 and the 9 and the G8 who are doing just fine, but further down the track, bring in this more professional kind of attitude to it. Your festivals, you know, your festival will win because you will have more productions and they will be well produced and they will be sound. You know, if I talk to you in a year, 2 years, do you feel it will be this quickly, Hone, that you'll see the benefits of this?
Absolutely, yeah. We can see the benefits. We did our own versions, smaller versions of it during Kia Mau and tested out a whole lot of things. So that's what we're constantly doing. And there's another whole environment, another whole ecosystem that can be created, because the one that's been created already just doesn't work. It really doesn't work for artists in general when you really focus it down. So, you know, tino rangatiratanga is very easy with all of us and all of these organisations, and it's just amplifying that. And what we're finding is that a lot of big organisations are now coming towards us, and we're going, no, that's cool, we're fine, thank you. And now we've got resources as well. At this time, for me, it should become a normal thing, because already, you know, I had to turn down works for Kia Mau because there were that many works coming towards us. And people have said you won't have enough work and it won't be enough quality. I mean, this is easy, man. Our people are good at this. They're really good at it. That we've never just had platforms. That you pick up a festival program and you look for the brown stuff, you know, and that was coming from a young one. And they went, Matua, I pick up our program and it's all us, you know? And I go, and it's easy, eh? And in regards to box office, we had such strong houses and audiences right across the board. And it's not just Māori and Pacifica. I think that's the key, that if Māori is strong, other communities will be strong. You know, and that's one of the things we've learned. So, yeah, that's Nahua Toi. It's really surprising, but for me, now is the time to strike, because everything's going to change, and this amount of resources isn't going to be floating around ever again. Yeah, just show great leadership and be fearless. Next is going, okay, we've got this pūtea, we're going to make it. How do we keep amplifying? Because that's the next phase. What we're finding is there's a huge number of young Māori who are reo speakers who want to do this theatre thing. And they go, oh, again, you know, Matua, how do we want to engage in this? How do we super engage? And so it's just bringing all of this difference and knowing that there's a peak body or somewhere that they can go to and go, oh, this is how I put on a show. I watch this video, I watch this. Oh, here's a list of producers. Oh, here's a list of production managers. Here's a list of stage managers. You know, those sorts of things who happen to be either Māori or Pacifica or, you know, of other communities.
We're going to bring Libby in a second, but I want to ask you just to go back to something. You said Waikato is going to go off. Got to find out why. What's specifically happening there?
Part of it is the artists who are based there. So Auckland now is an expensive city to live. So what you're finding is people are going to other areas. There's also infrastructure there and a want. You know, that's one of the key things. And actually some really, really key people who are wanting the Waikato. It's got to a point where you're going, oh yeah, things are happening. There are little festivals there. There are good platforms.
Some tertiary institutions also.
Yeah, also, yeah. And so all we need to do is give it a bit of a nudge and it should kind of open out again. And that's all you need to do is you just give things a nudge to open out to another level. And it's similar how we'll be in Utipoti or Hiratonga and other places as well, that go and give it a nudge, give it visibility. And that's one of the key things that we've really learnt is lack of visibility in regards to the arts, but in particular in regards to Māori.
Libby, you just said the tail end of Hone, but I mean, this is very exciting to be part of the Capability Fund, and I guess what Hone's been talking about is exactly what you and the others were hoping for, putting in place something, using this one-in-a-lifetime opportunity amount of funding to set up something that will last.
And it's interesting, you talk about this once in a, I guess, lifetime, decade, whatever it is, opportunity, but all of us, you know, we grow plans and we've spent our whole careers, you know, really working with a pittance. But having, you know, ideas that we know because we know our communities and we know what works, and we've been to enough creative events in our lifetime to understand that there's a different way of doing, it has to be a different way of doing things. You know, there's artistry that's brought us all through these really tough times and will take us through again. It brings joy, it brings economic and social benefit, and I think there's bigger, you know, there's always bigger things at play, man, for sure, but in the arts, I think we've got to move away from this mentality that we, you know, we can do it on a, you know, on peanuts, on nothing, we do it because we're passionate. All of those things are a given. You know, I hope it isn't a once-in-a-lifetime injection. I hope it's not that at all. I hope that it actually, the things that we're going to do prove that the arts benefits everybody.
Exactly. So, and for Māori land, which you know, has longevity and great support and love, mana and aroha around it, Libby, the 261,000, is this going to allow the trust members to do?
So we have a strategic plan that will actually see a growth across, not just in Ōtaki, which, and Honi mentioned this, you know, small towns are flourishing and really, you know, creating some amazing stuff despite despite being often overlooked. We are based in Ōtaki, but we actually have nationwide plans and things happening, not just as in our filmmaking, but also in tech creative, the tech creative arts, but also with, you know, visual arts and dance and, you know, we take whole of whānau through the experience so they can participate in the arts. They can be part of, you know, the front or the back. But there's a place for everybody to actually, you know, push the strategy that we have forward. So, yeah, we've got really big plans, Lynn, and we've actually just on the weekend completed our first ever three-week-long Matariki Ramaro, lighting the Beacons Festival. And, I mean, this is just an expression of, you know, when you mobilise your community and you involve everybody. We ran a three-week festival that started in Paraparaumu, went across the whole of the Kapiti Coast, included, and finished in Ōtaki, and we did it on an absolute, you know, this tiny Perth, and presented and gathered, you know, tens of thousands of people, and it's been fantastic on a very small team. And that is because, like I said, we've got the capability right now, but in order to grow that capability, this fund will enable us to, you know, drive it forward in a really meaningful way.
I mean, the money's only just come through. So what are your first, say, three priorities?
We have four areas that we're focusing on, filmmaking. We've also got the creative arts, as I mentioned. So that's animation and everything that's fresh there. And then we've got the visual arts, which is the Toi Matara Gallery. And then we have the workshops which go around and across New Zealand. Now, the priorities really are to get strength behind all of those four facets, to get strength behind them in terms of producer strength. We need it, you know, we need to grow more producers within the Māori Land team. Secondly, it's to involve more audience, which is around our audience is our greatest strength, so they feed back to us. And then presentation is the third. How do we take what's been delivered and make it something that people can access, whether, and like you did touch on it, Lynn, whether they want to access it and can access it physically, or whether it's another offering through a portal, either live or, you know, a recorded transmission.
Libby Hakaraya and Hone Koka